and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is good. Some years ago, I was involved at work in a major staff reorganisation. And we actually brought together the workforces of two councils. And you can imagine that they have their own ways of doing things. One of the main issues was actually getting them to work together and to come up with a new way of working where neither felt that they were being forced to do the other's type of work. There were those who resisted, those who took the view that what they had done, how they had done it, was always going to be right. There were those who tried, were willing to try, but still struggled and didn't really accept for the changes. And there were those who wholeheartedly saw what's necessary, took it on board and changed and worked effectively with the new system. Those who were stuck in their old ways, even they tried, they slipped back. And they failed to really take over and work in the new system. And that's the way we are in life. We get set in our ways. We've always done it this way. We've always lived in this way. And that was the position here in our reading. And we're particularly looking at verses 36 to 39. But we do need to look at the context. And the context here is that the traditions, the ways of behaving, were that you fasted and you prayed. And the Pharisees did it, and even John the Baptist's disciples did this. They followed the old ways. And here was Jesus coming with his disciples, and they were different. And remember, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, delighted in trying to trip Jesus up. Because what he was doing was challenging their way of doing things and what they'd done for many years. And they still believed that they were serving God properly because they failed to recognize who he was. So, this is the circumstance. Why are your disciples not doing what is expected? What the traditions say, what the Old Testament says. And Jesus points out to them that actually things are changing. He is the bridegroom. And if you are at a wedding feast, do you starve? Do you leave the food to one side? Do you fast? Or do you celebrate? Do you participate? Now, we need to have a look at what these particular verses are saying to us. And each time you come to read a passage, God may speak to you in a different way. So it may be different or the same as you've heard before. I want us to look at the fact there that Christianity is not a patch. That Christianity requires a new life. And that Christ will train and prepare his followers. So, you often hear people when they're going through a bad time, however bad they are, when the world collapses around them, they either blame God and accept he exists, or they turn to God in some shout of, God help me. They see day to day, things are wrong, and perhaps going to church will help. But it doesn't mean a lot. When we say that we are Christians, are we actually just saying that on a Sunday we are Christians? Or when we are with our Christian friends? See, a lot of people do try and use Christianity as a pattern, as a way of saying, I'm good, I go to church, I pray. They may even pick their Bible up from time to time. They may just come on Easter, Christmas, births, deaths, marriages, and say, I'm Christian. Doesn't happen quite so much now, but there was a time when I'm English, I'm a Christian. And that's what they believed. And it was like putting a little patch on their lives and saying, because I do these little things, because I have this amount of belief, I'm a Christian. But reality, they were still those old clothes, those old wineskins. They had not changed. And we need to look at ourselves and see how our faith is. If I met you at work and you didn't know who I was, would I see the person I see on a Sunday, or will I see someone who fits in with everything that's going on around me? When my neighbour gets me upset, playing loud music every night, not cutting their garden, do they see a Christian, or do they see someone who's just the same as every other unhappy neighbour? If our Christianity is merely something we put on in times of trouble, or on a Sunday to try and impress the neighbours or our friends, it's like the patch being put on the old clothing, or the new wine being put in the old wineskin, because we have not changed. And however much we sort of try and patch up with these nice beliefs that others really have but I don't, it's never going to change us. And in the end, it's merely going to expose our failures, our sin, the fact that we are not made new. So what Christ is saying is, the message I've got to give you is not going to be just add it on to what you've been doing, to the Pharisees, teachers of the law, to the disciples of John the Baptist. What I'm bringing is not an add-on. Because if that's all it did, it would just break everything. My message would flow through like the new wine. Your lives would be just more torn around, part because you'd be trying to do what you think I want, but you'd be trying to keep to the law. They don't tie up. And things get worse, not better. So the first thing is, Christianity is not a patch, a temporary fix. It is something more permanent than that. Christianity requires a new life. If we think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, when he came to Christ, he was important in the religious groups at that time. He was someone who knew the old law. He knew what was expected, but he'd also realised that Christ was bringing something new. So he came to him in the dead of night so that he wouldn't be seen, and asked, what must I do? How can I have what you are offering? And Christ doesn't get him to go away and read more and understand the Old Testament more. He says, you must be born again. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't a patching up on the old with a bit of the new. This is a complete change. When we become Christians, that is what God is calling us to do. He is calling us to have a complete makeover so that our old lives are put behind us and we have this new life. A new life which is filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, you can't put the Holy Spirit into a broken, bad life without accepting who he is. It will tear it apart. Because you are struggling. How do I do what I should do when actually I want and I'm practicing doing what I shouldn't do? We need to be willing to be changed. And God doesn't ask us to change because we can't. We cannot make ourselves good. We cannot earn our place with God. We cannot change our lives by ourselves. Just an example, we all do it probably with dieting, with trying to stop smoking, trying to stop drinking, whatever our vice is. If we try to do it by ourselves, that is difficult enough. And that is something that is purely human, controlled by humans. Imagine trying to change our spiritual lives, but say, I will do it myself. I will read the rules in the Bible, and I will do good. I will be nice. The first time we come up against a struggle, something difficult, when what we think is right doesn't work, we will fail. We need to be willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I am a sinner. Thank you for saving me. Make my life new. And be willing for whatever he is willing to do and wants to do with us. And it will be different with each one of us. It's quite interesting. You look at a group of Christians, and our experiences have all been different. God has called us from different places. He has given us different tasks to do. He has even addressed different issues in our lives at different times. But it can only be done by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's possible because Jesus Christ gave his life for us and paid for our sins. We can't pay the price for our sins. We can't live the life that Christ wants us to do without him. And Christ makes it clear, and he said the story of Nicodemus was one of those obvious examples, that it means we must be born again, put off that old life, and live the life that he wants us to do. It's not easy. And it's not going to be perfect straight away. It will become perfect when we join him in eternity. We will fail. But if we've got Christ, that will not matter. He will lift us up again. And the third bit coming from here is the fact that what Jesus was saying to his disciples and to the Pharisees, I am going to train my disciples. I am going to show them what I want them to be. I'm going to show them the gospel I have got. And one day, I am going to set them out. He was talking about when he had died and risen again and returned to heaven. At that time, his disciples would be equipped to go out. He doesn't expect us as Christians to go out straight away. Yes, our lives will change. We will be witnesses from that first day. But we won't know everything. Often, if somebody questions us, we will actually have to say, go and speak to this older Christian. Go and speak to the minister. Because I don't know all the answers. But it doesn't matter. And it's interesting, if we read Galatians 1, verses 11 to 24, we will see that Paul went to Arabia for 3 years after he'd been called. And we know what happened with Paul. He had an incredible experience when Christ challenged him and turned his life around. He went to Jerusalem, was scarcely accepted. He was then sent away. God took him away to learn about Christ and about being a Christian. And he was there for 3 years before he came back and started the work that God had set out for him to do. So God will prepare us. God will equip us for what he has for us to do. Don't think just because you've been a Christian today, you should be leading a church tomorrow. It doesn't work. Not normally. There will be exceptions. God can do anything. But generally, he will want to train us up. And we're reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, when Timothy's writing to the church to say, well, about elders, he says, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of evil. If we give other Christians too much responsibility, they can fall at that. If we seek too much responsibility, if I've recently become a Christian and say, I want to go and preach, a good church will say that. Because you will then run the risk of thinking that you know enough and what you say and your interpretation of the Bible is correct. God wants to equip us to do the task that he has for us to do. And I don't know what he's called you to do. You may not know what he wants you to do just yet. But I can assure you of this. That when he calls you, he will train you and he will equip you. And when you are equipped, he will then send you out. If you feel that God is calling you to do something here, but think, I'm too shy, I can't speak, I don't know what I'm doing, A, speak to the church leadership. But B, if God's calling you, he will give you that ability. Go back to Moses and Aaron. Moses didn't want to go and see Pharaoh. And he said he couldn't talk. He was too shy. So God says, you're going. And here's Aaron to make it work. A lot of times you will read in the Bible, people who haven't believed that they can do what God calls them to do. And when he insists, he also equips. And when he equips and they go, they do and are successful in what he has called them to do. So out of this, God will equip his people. God will equip us to do that which he has called us to do. And there's just a couple of things to remember, though, that even when he's called us, when we are seeking to do his will, even, again, I will use Paul, because Paul is someone we think of as a good Christian. And yet he says in Romans 7, verses 14 to 25, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Just a reminder that things will go wrong. We will sin. We will fall. But God will hold us up. God will equip us. God will lead us. And we can do whatever God wants us to do if we trust.